Welcome to Tairat Imecha Nach Iomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Pamela Rufka Simonson, and today we will be studying Yehoshua, Parak Yud, Chapter 10. Adoni Tzedek, the King of Yerushalayim, hears about Yehoshua having completely destroyed Ai, and that the Givonim have made peace with the Bnei Yisrael and are among them, meaning that they have attached themselves to the Bnei Yisrael, as Metzudas David interprets. There's fear in the land, because as Malbim teaches, people could follow this precedent set by the Givonim. And Givon is an Ir Gadoila, a great city, an important, influential city. Its men are powerful. So Adoni Tzedek calls on four other kings in the region to join him in an attack on the Givonim. Verse 4, Alu Eilai V'Izruni, come up to me and help me. V'nake es Givon, and we will smite Givon. Ki hishlima es Yehoshua v'es b'nei Yisrael, for it has made peace with Yehoshua and with the children of Yisrael. These five kings gather together and encamp on Givon and wage war against it. So the men of Givon call on Yehoshua to help them. Alei eleinu mehera v'hoshia lanu v'azreinu, ki nikbatsu eleinu kol malchei ha'emayri yoshvei ha'har. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. So in keeping with the treaty, Yehoshua and his army go up from Gilgal. Hashem gives Yehoshua assurance that they will succeed, saying in verse 8, Al tira mehem, ki v'yodcha nasatim, loy ya'amoid ish mehem b'fonecha. Do not fear them, for I have delivered them into your hand. Not a man of them shall stand before you. Yehoshua comes up from Gilgal all night, in the night, so that the enemy will not detect them, says Metzudas David. They won't notice them. And he comes to the enemy suddenly. Hashem confuses the opposition, and the Bnei Yisrael slay them in Givon, and they chase after them. And as the enemy is fleeing from the Bnei Yisrael, Hashem hishlich aleihem avonim gedolos min hashamayim ad azeko vayomusu. Hashem cast down great stones from heaven upon them to Azeka, a place, and they died. Rabim asher mesu ba'avne haborad me asher hargu b'nei Yisrael bechorev. There were more who died with the hailstones than the children of Yisrael killed with the sword. Malbim expands that whilst it's within the realm of nature that the stones would fall in a place and kill a person and an animal, there was a miraculous aspect happening. The enemy was running away until Azeka, and the Bnei Yisrael were chasing after them. The stones did not strike the Bnei Yisrael, who were pursuers. The stones always came down to a place where the enemy was standing. They only came from above onto the enemies, and they turned away from a place that the Bnei Yisrael would come to. Amazingly, the Gemara in Brachos 54b points out that these stones that fell now in the battle with the Amorite kings were those same stones that had remained suspended in mid-air from the time of the plagues in Egypt. When Moshe prays to Hashem during the plague of hail, the Pasuk says, Vayachdalu hakailos v'haborod, and the thunder and the hail ceased. It stopped. Umatar loy nitach artza, and rain did not come down to earth. Rashi explains this to mean that even what was still in the air did not come down to the ground. But now in the battle with the Amorite kings, the hailstones finally fall to the aid of the Bnei Yisrael. Continuing in the verses in Yehoshua chapter 10, in the battle with the Amorite kings, Yehoshua now speaks to Hashem, and he says in front of the Bnei Yisrael, verse 12, Shemesh b'Giv'ain daim, sun in Giv'ain, be silent, stand still, v'yoreach b'emek ayalon, and moon in the valley of Ayalon. And indeed, the sun and the moon stay still until the Bnei Yisrael have overcome their enemies. They stay still for a full day. The Mahari Kara points out, one should not say that Yehoshua commanded the sun and the moon to stand still. Rather, as we see, the Pasuk begins, Oz yedaber Yehoshua laHashem. Then Yehoshua spoke to Hashem. This precedes his statement about the son. Yehoshua is requesting mercy from Hashem that the son stand still. And Hashem hears Yehoshua's prayer and commands the son before the Bnei Yisrael to stand before Yehoshua. And this is emphasized also in verse 14. V'loi hayaka yoim hahu lefonov v'acharov lishmoya Hashem b'kail ish ki Hashem nilchom liYisrael. And there was no day like that before it or after it that Hashem heeded the voice of man, for Hashem fought for Yisrael. It was Hashem who made these luminaries stay in their position. Hashem granted Yehoshua's tefillah. Why did Hashem listen to Yehoshua to do this great thing, changing how the creation functions? Says Mahari Kara, because Hashem also wanted this. Ki Hashem nilcham li Yisrael, because Hashem fought for Yisrael. Hashem himself fought the war for Yisrael. A miracle carries the stamp of Hashem. Hashem granted Yehoshua's request for that which would be for the best in the bigger picture. Yehoshua's tefillah aligned with Hashem's will. Sometimes we pray for things that wouldn't be good for us in our Avodas Kodesh, our holy service. I hope that we can merit to pray for what Hashem knows is best for us, to rely on him to guide us in the direction that is best for our spiritual growth, even if it means we need to amend what it is that we pray for. Yehoshua and Yisrael return to the camp to Gilgal, and the five kings run away and hide themselves in a cave at Makeda. Yehoshua is told about this, and he instructs, verse 18, Goylu avonim gedolos el pi ha'ma'ora, roll great stones to the mouth of the cave, v'hafkidu aleha anashim l'shamram, and appoint men by it to guard them. With them guarded, the fighters should go to strike the last of the enemy and not let them enter their cities. Once they have finished slaying the enemy, they return to Makeda, and Yehoshua asks for the five kings to be brought out to him. Yehoshua tells the chiefs of the men of war from the Bnei Israel in verse 24, Kirvu simu es ragleichem al tzavarei hamelachim ha'ele. Come near, put your feet upon the necks of these kings. And offering encouragement, he echoes similar wording to that we have seen previously said to Yehoshua by Hashem. Verse 25, Al tir'u v'al techotu, chizku v'imtzu, ki chacha ya'aseh Hashem l'chol eivechem asher atem nilchomim oisom. Don't be afraid, don't be dismayed, be strong and of good courage, for so shall Hashem do to all your enemies against whom you fight. Yehoshua then kills the five kings and hangs them on poles until evening. When the sun sets, Yehoshua instructs for them to be taken down from the poles and put in the cave that they hid in, and to put stones on the mouth of the cave. That day, Yehoshua defeats Makeda, and he and Bnei Israel defeat Livna, and on the second day, Lachish and the people of Gever. They defeat Eglon, Chevron, and Devir. Yehoshua defeats all the country of the hills and of the south and of the valley and of the falls and all their kings. He strikes from Kadesh Barnea to Aza and all the land of Goshen to Givon. Verse 42, Ve'es kol ha'malachim ha'ele ve'es artsam, lochad Yehoshua pa'am echos, Ki Hashem Elokei Yisrael nilcham li Yisrael. And all these kings and their land did Yehoshua take at one time, because Hashem, God of Yisrael, fought for Yisrael. And they come back to Gilgal. The Mishpatzos Zahav comments on the significance of them standing on the necks of the enemy kings. The neck is the place of joining between the head and the body. They put their feet on the necks of the kings to show that the kings were acting as if the true head, the leader of the world, Hashem, was detached from the body. They were acting as if the world is separate from Hashem. But everything in the world is run by Hashem. Rashi's comment in this perek on the verse when Yehoshua says, Shemesh be giv'ayin daim, sun in giv'ayin be silent or stand still, draws us to insights on the meaning of a song. Rashi says that at the start of the verse, when it says, then Yehoshua spoke, it means that he recited a shira, a song, instead of the sun. According to that, Yehoshua asked that the sun be silent, daim, be silent. Rashi interprets he is asking that the sun be silent from saying shira, from reciting song. This is all the time that it stands still, because all the time that it's moving, it is reciting shira. This reference is to shira, a song praising Hashem. Rav Yitzchak Huttner explains that ordinarily a song, a shira, is sung at a triumph, at a time of triumph over evil. But another reason for a shira is when there is a triumph of holiness over the mundane. A shira, a song, is a rejoicing over total subjugation of everyday matters to God's objective. True shira happens when Hashem's will is fulfilled completely and Hashem is recognized as the only master of the universe. The components of Hashem's creation are described as singing their song of praise of Hashem by their perfect performance of their role in the world that He has allocated to them. When the sun performs its function, this is praise of Hashem. We call this shira. Yehoshua was asking for the sun to stop functioning in its normal way and therefore daim, be silent from singing its shira. Our spiritual instinct is to cleave to Hashem, to align our will with His. Shira is associated with the word sher, which the Mishnah in Shabbos uses with regard to a leash attached to an animal. So here too, the use of the word shira in the context of praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicates our desire to attach to Hashem through our singing His praises. So the praise brings us to humility, and shira is an expression of our innate desire to sing Hashem's melody in every move we make. Thank you for studying together. Leilui Nishmas, Frida Bas Moshe Eliyahu.